Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this beautiful, roasting hot Sunday morning. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning. Lovely and warm, isn't it?
Morning, yes. Well, we're presuming, obviously.
We're presuming. Record, but I think there's like an heat wave-ish.
Yeah, it's not going to suddenly...
Is it a heat wave or is it just summer?
It's just summer, mate. It catches us by surprise every year.
Heat wave, and you go, what, 22 degrees? That's just summer. That's
yeah. Just summer. Yeah, I think it's that... I mean, I do it. Everyone does it. But there's just that moment, is there, where every year... You say something that you've said every year, like, God, it's still light.
Yeah.
It's the, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're like, yeah, it's the same every year. These things have not changed.
It's really top-notch chat, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. You're like, what? Like, oh, it's hot, isn't it? It's close.
Ooh,
muggy.
It's humid, muggy. Though. You don't get, you know, you're humid, isn't it? When you're abroad, it's not as humid.
That's
humid.
Right.
You know about humidity,
it's a different kind of heat. It's a different kind of heat.
No. I don't know what it really means.
No clue at all. I am... I think I've had sunburn maybe twice in my life.
Yeah.
When
you were a kid?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's always when you were a kid, because there was no suntan lotion.
I just don't get it. I see people with sunburn, I think, what, you idiot.
Yeah.
I actually feel superior. That rarely happens to me.
Do you think they've been taken by surprise by it? You know, they're pegging the washing out and it takes longer.
No.
Pegging the washing out.
No, because there's still shade.
Not everywhere. Where the washing is. I'm just saying. I'm not
How
saying.
How long's
I've
the washing take?
To peg it all out when you got little kids and socks and pants and everything. It takes about 25 minutes.
Prepare to fail. Fail to prepare. However it is.
You know, it just seems like another job before another. It's like a chore before a chore. Like I'm going to go.
Yeah.
It's one of my. Like I've said, it's the most hated job. Hanging the washing out.
Yeah.
Just put my cream on first.
No, I know, but how good is that feeling then when your washing's dry in like
and
5 minutes?
Dried by the elements.
Oh, lovely. Right. Yeah, it's not cost you a penny.
Not cost you a penny. The goddess of sunshine has clean dried it all up for you.
Beautiful. I love it. But no, I just feel sunburn is like a natural selection thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just think, well, maybe it's just that's just the way it was, just the evolution.
Yeah, maybe.
You shouldn't be getting sunburned. No, I mean, again, all right, occasionally when you get caught out or whatever, like you said, but I'm talking really about the people who deliberately, on holiday...
Do they think they're harder than the sun, though?
I think that's what they think.
Do you think some people think they're harder than the sun?
Yeah, you know, sort of like, just on the beach, nothing, like, what are you doing? But I mean, when we were kids, I remember mum putting oil on. My mum used to put oil on.
What, like, not even olive oil, like crisp and dry?
Yeah, like, just with the spray.
Olive oil's too expensive, and you can only get it from the chemist in them days.
Yeah, but it was
lard, just
like
rubbing lard,
just trying to get burnt. Yeah, so good God. But anyway, be safe out there, guys. That sun's very powerful.
Factor 50, guys. Factor 50.
Yeah, although I think I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I feel like I read somewhere that over factor 30, it's like
pointless. Look,
you can't add anything. You know, factor 30 is max. But I'm a factor 30 guy. I'm a shade seeker.
I like the shade.
I love the shade. I just don't. Why are you sat in direct sunlight, you nutters? Look after yourself. It's time for this.
Questions for Steve.
That's right. That jingle is so long, I was actually able to go and get my phone on the other side of the room and come back. It's time for questions for Steve, and this one's from Paul, who says, hello Jason and Steve, I've been glued to the TV these past few weeks watching Wimbledon. Actually, that's another point. I've been watching Wimbledon at my dad's, and he's not a tennis guy.
Not a tennis guy?
No, he's trying to watch it because it's sport and I'm enjoying it, but I can see he's just like, what is this? Like, how is this a sport? Like, it's just getting it over the net. He's not seeing it at all, but, you know.
It's easy to get drawn in Wimbledon, isn't it, I think?
I love a bit of Wimbledon.
It's good to get drawn in, I think.
I love it.
Sports, you know.
Unless you're Hugh Grant, apparently.
He's had a little nap, didn't he, apparently?
Little nap. But I can see that because it has got that tick-tock, you know, as it goes across.
And the sun's, you know. Sun's
hot day, you've probably had a couple of glasses of wine.
Yeah, you just realise how much you've spent on strawberries.
Yeah.
That'll make your blood sugar drop.
Yeah, so maybe I feel... I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it. I've been glued to TV this past few weeks watching Wimbledon. What stood out for me is how a few of the players have been given fines for things like unsportsmanlike conduct, swearing and racket abuse.
Ooh. Swearing? I'm worried about a bit of swearing.
Yeah.
And swearing?
Well...
You know, in my day, McEnroe, he didn't really even swear, but his anger was enough to
yeah.
get in trouble.
You cannot be serious. Yeah, there was Henry Patton, who got fined $9,000 for verbally abusing staff after they cut his off-site practice session short. Adrian Marino, French, who was penalised in his second round match for unsportsmanlike behaviour. Doesn't go into any more detail than that. Right.
Maybe that's racket abuse.
Maybe that's what it is. Elena Pridinkina, fined for unsportsmanlike conduct in a doubles match, probably having a go at a partner.
Yeah. I mean...
A lot of big money as well.
Yeah.
This is big. I mean, $9,000. I mean, fair enough. If you're abusing staff, that's... Can't do that. You know what I mean?
No.
If you're abusing yourself and your racket, then...
Or your doubles partner, you know.
Or that's, your doubles partner,
I
yeah.
like that's, you know... Do you remember, everyone team's got one of those footballers who's not great, but then sometimes... Somebody goes through and give them a whack, and then they're suddenly a better player.
Yeah. Maybe yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, maybe that's there might be some doubles player who just need a good shouting at, and then they get their head in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. I can see. I think I'd be a bit like that, I think.
What, yeah, shouting at the other person?
Yeah, I think so.
I think
yeah.
I'd be the one being shouted at.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I don't think I'd ever shout at my doubles partner, to be fair. I'm more having a go at myself. More than anything, yeah. I think. So Paul says, and this leads me to my question, what other small things should we give fines out for? I personally feel people should be fined if they take too long to order at a drive-through.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
That is annoying, actually, to be fair.
I'd like to fine people in a pub who have a little sip of a drink. Oh, what's that one like? Can I have a little try of that one?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. A bit too hoppy, that one. It's been,
yeah.
I try that
I like
one.
That Yeah, I'm a bit like that. You know when you go to get an ice cream and someone's tasting the flavours?
No,
I was behind this German guy once who's there for ages. Couldn't I try the strawberry? What do you think strawberry tastes like, mate?
Yeah.
What's the same?
Rumpelwaffel. No, I don't. No.
Yeah. I mean, there are lots of things. I think people suddenly stop in the street, you know, like just walking behind them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's annoying.
That's very much a Benidorm thing. I just remember that quite a lot in Benidorm. People just stopped there and you just nearly walk to the back and you're like, mate.
Yeah, I mean, that's well annoying.
Small talk's fine, all well and good. But if it's if there's a queue, just be aware there's a queue behind you. I mean, I live by the seaside, so there's a few old people down here and they sometimes like a chat when they're doing the shopping.
Course.
Oh, yeah, these are off on offer. They last week, these were only up. I got them off the other aisle. You're like, come on, mate.
Chatting in the cinema, actually. I went to see Jurassic Park the other day.
Oh, it's good, isn't it? Apparently, my son.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Only really spoiled, actually, by Nick Mohammed, I think.
Oh, is he in it?
No, he's not in it at all. I wouldn't be so rude. Oh.
The song.
Imagine he's listening. Going, oh, God, I thought I like you too. I worked with you both. No, he does
I know,
song.
Jurassic Park. Yeah, yeah, on which, 8 out of 10 cats.
But it just means every time the...
You hear the word.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, all I can hear is course, Nick Mohammed singing it, which sort of ruins some of the bigger moments.
It does,
but fantastic
ruin the moments,
film.
Yeah.
But what spoilt it was the two boys next to me talking all the way through. They've got no... I think it's a modern thing, but they've got no patience. They've got no... you know, one of them's on the phone. One of them was like moving his straw up and down his plastic holder. Yeah, that one. And my brother, to be fair, like I'm very calm. I'll have
just eyeballing him.
No, my brother got up and literally stood in front of him. I mean, my brother's massive as well. Like he's a power lifter. You know what I mean? He's got... And he just stood, he got up, stood in front. Because I'd said a few times, excuse me, boys. Just, I'm trying to watch the film. He's distracting me, and they're like looking at me like, whatever.
Oh,
yeah, a bit like that. Yeah. And then a couple of times, are you just spoiling it a bit for the kids here? Like my kids actually weren't that bothered, but I was bothered. I said I was just spoiling it a bit. They were like, all right, mate. I'm only talking. So it's like, then the next thing, even I looked up. Just there was like a total eclipse of the screen.
Oh,
and my brother just stood there. And he went, shut your mouth. It's just like, even the straw went limp.
Straw went back in.
I was like, nice one, mate. Sorted me out there. But I had this situation in the cinema. My son fell over. There's a where we were at the View Cinema in Salford Quays, the bottom step, where we were on the front row, because it was packed out, we booked late, so front row. But the reclined seats, they're comfy and that, you know, 3D. It's well exciting. Nice. Anyway, I've come down the stairs, and there's, the bottom step is only maybe 6 inches, not even a proper step. It doesn't go anywhere, it just goes to the floor. And I've tripped, spilt a load of popcorn. My brother's laughed, obviously. in front of a cinema packed full of people.
You're at the front. Everyone can see it.
Everyone's already sat down. Yeah, exactly. So felt a bit stupid, and I jarred my knee as well, which was not nice. But obviously, you got to ride over
did
the
you
actual
though, or
pain.
Did you pretend you jarred your knee?
No, I actually did the opposite, because I'd actually hurt my knee, but I had to pretend that I hadn't and laugh it off. Okay. But I was actually in pain. Sat down. It's fine. Anyway, my son gets up to go to the loo at one point halfway through the film, and when he comes back, he trips on it like bad. Like I thought he was going to wallop his head on the plastic seat, and anyway, when I've looked, he's like, cut his knee, it's all dripping with blood. He's got a big bruise on his arm. So afterwards, I've gone to the manager and I've just gone, look, you know, I tripped on it, my son's tripped on it, and you know, look at there's literally blood pouring out of his knee. I said, also, why is the step there? You know, he said, oh, well, we can't put a light on it because it reflects off the screen. And but I went, right, I get that to a degree. I mean, you know, it's health and safety, but the step doesn't go anywhere, so why don't you just build it up or create a ramp so it's not a sudden fall like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have put that through to head office. And, you know, but, you know, at the moment, that's what they've signed off on. It's just waiting off and like that. Yeah. So, anyway, then the general manager, or the area manager, rings me the next day, right, to apologise. Now, what are you expecting here, Steve, when an area manager rings you because your son has injured himself at a cinema?
Apology and something free, like, you know, two tickets to the thing, or some, you know, as much popcorn as you can eat.
It never even got offered. I was literally waiting for it. I was waiting. There's got to be a couple of free tickets here. And I was like, and? He was like, and we're just really sorry. So,
and that's all I can say.
We'll make sure hopefully it doesn't happen again. And I thought, I'm not lowering myself for asking for free tickets, but surely.
I don't think people do this as much anymore.
That's a tapping.
Yeah, that is a tap-in.
That's a tap-in. Free tickets is a tap-in. Anyway, I said, all right, well, you know, I said, I'm disappointed about it. I said, I'm not going to give it the full Village Hotels situation. We don't need to do that. But I will be talking about it on the radio because it's dangerous. And hopefully it will get your little letter that you sent to head office further up the chain, because that was dangerous, man. And it spoiled Jurassic Park for us. Anyway, I did say I was going to tell you my list of annoying things. So we had a couple of suggestions already. The chatting in the cinema.
Yeah. How do you place the chatting in the cinema, though? Because you don't even see the usherettes anymore, do you?
They don't even, well, they sometimes pop in, don't they, see no one's filming anything or putting
their
feet
up. That's for their own protection, isn't it? Could you... Because now they've all got these fancy chairs, you know, these reclining... Mm. A lot of them have got those reclining chairs. Is there a way that they could sort of flip all the way backwards and drop people into like acid or something underneath?
Acid seems harsh, but I feel like maybe it's some sort of
water?
Pit.
Shark infested water.
Or just a worse
slurry pit.
Or just a worse film.
Drop them into a worse film.
Just into a worse film. So you're watching Jurassic Park.
Not age appropriate either. They just drop into Peppa Pig the movie. And they're like,
Or you just like, you're right at the climax of Jurassic Park and then bang. Hang on, is this Juice Bigelow male gigolo?
Yeah, straight in. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. That's the punishment. Yeah,
well, how would you do that? So the chairs turn like the voice, and on the back wall there's another cinema screen.
No, I think they flip back like Graham Norton.
Yeah, no, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So you drop them into a cinema below.
And there's another cinema screen.
I think it's a great idea, but as we've already discovered, just putting this step in is taking 6 months.
They're clearly not bothered, so never mind.
The idea of building another cinema underneath a cinema to drop people into a misbehaving.
Yeah.
Maybe they just build a new one. From now on, when they build a cinema,
there you go.
Build this in mind.
This is what we're going
to
do.
And then we say to people when they go in, by the way, this is a special cinema. If you misbehave in any way or break any of the rules that are spelled out to you at the beginning of the film, so you can't say you didn't know.
We're told,
you will be dropped into Juice Bigelow, Mal Gigolo.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I think it's always that film. It should always be the same film.
It should always be that film, yeah.
And if you start misbehaving in there, they start the film again.
Yeah.
They just put it up from the beginning.
I think that's good. I'm going to go with, I reckon, a £100 fine on people playing music out of a phone.
Yeah.
With no headphones.
Well, just bring the card system in that's in football. So the train manager, he's got yellow. So he comes in, yellow card. If you get a red one, it's £100 fine.
Yeah.
So the first one should stop you. But he's got the power to give you a card. He blows a whistle because he's got a whistle. I've seen him. He's got a whistle.
Yeah.
Blows
that. That's good. I think that's good.
Yellow card.
This is quite a specific one. Let me stay with my parents this week. But when you've been thinking about eating something all day, and then when you get home, someone's already ate it.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I feel like that should be quite a big one.
Well, this would be middle class you in that. So did you have a pot of quinoa in the fridge or something?
That's right. It was hummus and dips, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to say, Liv...
I just threw it out, thought it had gone off. It's all beige. That's the colour of hummus.
Live, laugh and love is in a lot of rooms in my parents' house.
Oh, any of those? Any of those motivational? Live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
This kitchen is for dancing.
Yeah.
It's Prosecco time. Yeah. Any of those, not a fan of.
So I think if you put that sign up, that's £100 fine. I think anyone...
In your own house, though?
Yeah, exactly.
What, is it just like a secret inspection? There's a knock on the door. Yes. Hello.
Gestapo. Just checking. Do you have a sign? Live, laugh, laugh.
No, get the sign down quick. Get the sign down. Just give us a second. I've just backed the floor, so I don't need to. Do you take your shoes off? Get all the signs down.
I think anyone who starts a WhatsApp group just to play Wordle.
Yeah,
that's happened to me a couple of times now.
Yeah,
like a Wordle WhatsApp group.
You just send a PayPal link. That's been fine.
Yeah, straight away. Clapping when the plane lands, £300.
I mean, I agree. It depends where you're going. I mean, if you just go to Spain, that's fine.
I think if there's been some sort of mid-air disaster, then
that's all right.
That's fine to clap, I think, but not for landing.
I once flew to Sofia in Bulgaria with an airline I'd never heard of, and everyone started clapping. I sort of nearly joined in. Because I was like,
right.
I don't know. Were we not meant to make it? I don't. Okay, well done.
Yeah.
Good work.
Putting empty milk cartons back in the fridge.
Oh, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
Mm.
Big one. I've got loads, if I'm honest. There's lots of things that annoy me. I think leaving your trolley, like your shopping cart, somewhere else that's not back in its place where it should be.
Well, not in the trolley bay. Yeah, when they just put it in front of where they were parked and drive away and take
that away. I actually feel like Asda should employ a sniper for that on the roof.
Do you know what? I don't think you're overreacting.
I don't think so.
I think you're right.
I don't think so.
I'd like to meet somebody. What do you do for a living? I'm the Asda sniper.
I'm the Asda sniper. You know, in the you don't put your trolley back.
No, I didn't know that was a thing. I always put mine back. Oh well, try not to put it back one day. Watch what happens.
Wear a helmet, my friend.
Yeah.
Pew, pew. Yeah. I don't feel like death. I'm not a sicko.
No, they shoot the trolley. So you would properly frighten you, and then you go, oh, sorry.
I go one.
What are you doing? The back of the leg or something?
Just a hammy.
Just a hamstring, yeah.
Just a hammy, yeah. No, I go tyre on the car. Really ruin the day.
What if it's the wrong car?
Well, there's a lot of information that we all take.
He's watching the entire car park, all the trolleys, all the people with trolleys. He's gone, shot the wrong tyre.
He would know.
Hey, mate! He's just come back from the trolley bay, walked all the way back, and then he just got there. Steve, shot his tyre.
Steve, this is not a job that someone has gone to the job centre for. This is a trained professional as the sniper. He's not making mistakes like that.
No. Okay. So I think you might need more than one. Maybe one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could also have that. What's that psychological experiment when you have the terror in the middle and you say there's a sniper in there?
There you go. There isn't. You don't even need a sniper.
The people think there is, so they put the trolleys back.
I love it. Schrodinger's sniper. Let's do it.
Where real music matters.
This is Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
Jason Manford.
Now, we spoke Was it last week? I think it might have been last week.
Yeah, it was last week, I think.
I was talking about taking my daughters to see Olivia Rodrigo. And
oh, yes, that's right.
I sobbed, Steve. I had a moment where I had genuine cried. I mean, Olivia was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't her that was making me cry. It was watching the children.
So you were moved by how moved the children were?
They were... I'd never seen joy like it. So the fact that this person up there, this American pop princess, was just giving joy to the people I love the most in the world, I just found myself welling up a little bit.
That's nice.
That was a lovely feeling, don't get me wrong. But it did make me think, like, I have got more cryy, if that's a word, the older I've got. Like, I cried at the marathon one year.
What? When someone won it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even the winning bit, and I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
It was just the stories of the marathon and why people were doing it and what it meant to them. And suddenly, even now, I'm feeling a bit.
I think I've always been a bit of an easy weeper. Quite an easy target.
What gets you?
Like if it's anyone genuine, you know, I can tell when I'm being manipulated emotionally.
Right.
But you know, like stuff like, you know, children in need and comic relief.
Yeah,
I'm in bits.
All day long.
I remember when I was a student, I remember ringing up to, I think it was Comet Relief or Children in Need or one of them, pledging like 20 quid or something. And I was like, is the kid with the eye? For the kid with the eye? Just kept saying the kid with the eye. I don't remember what it was about, but I just remember there was a kid with an eye.
Sarah Green on the other end of the phone. Like,
yeah, all right, just you know, we can't specific, you know, give it to one specific. Give it that kid with the eye.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel you on that one. Well, I put it out to the world, and you, of course, got back to me with the things that random things that do make you cry. And some of these are fab, I've got to say. Some of these are funny, but also I don't want you to think I'm taking anything away from your emotions.
Right.
Kerry says, the red arrows.
What, just they go over and she just bursts into tears?
That's her gone, the red arrows.
Oh, I can see sort of see that. Because it's a big moment, isn't
it? It's usually at an event, isn't it? It's usually at something prestigious So I can see that. Fair enough. Jane, elderly people walking along the street by themselves.
Oh, that is... Yeah, that'll get you.
That is harsh. Yeah.
I think elderly people holding hands gets me.
Yeah, if you see a couple like...
A couple really in love at that age.
Yeah, and they've been together like 70 years or something.
You see, it's like when you watch any of those sort of programmes like Ambulance or, you know, any of those. So there's an old fella on his own. It's a different generation.
Goes all the time. If there's a... Like... Yeah. If I get up to go to, if we're in a pub and I go to the toilet, I come back, Lucy will always be sat chatting to the oldest man in there and with tears in her eyes. Like
just
whatever
story.
Just whatever his story is, it gets her every single time. Joe says, I proper sobbed years ago when a contestant on the original Gladiators tried and tried but just could not get to the top of the Travelator.
I mean, that's a bit. Might be a little bit of an too easy. Oh, come on, mate. Oh, he fell over again.
Oh, look how much he's trying.
He'll do it this time. He'll do it. He's not done it again. Oh, my God.
If Wolf hadn't given that dead leg, he'd have made that.
Happy with yourself now, are you, Wolf, man?
Awooga, you can do it. Raquel says, my kid's doing really well at their school play. Doesn't even have to be my kids.
No, that will get you, because you can appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think school plays are different to school concerts, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because a school play, I think you're like invested in it, you know, your kid's in it and stuff like that. Whereas a school concert, once your kid's done their bit, I'm a bit over it. But
yeah, I went to a recorder concert the other day.
Oh, yeah, how's that?
20 minutes.
Because that's not an instrument that's for the
listener. No, when there's a lot of them doing it. If one's out of tune, you can very much hear them.
But also you can't tell who it is.
No. And you're sort of watching your own son's chest go up and down going, is it him? Yeah. No, I don't think it is him. He's doing it all right.
Kelly says, while on holiday in Mallorca, I started crying at this guy making sandcastles of polar bears. They were really realistic, actually.
They are, yeah, I've seen them. Yeah,
they are.
A horse, isn't it? But
they are talented, those guys.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah, sand art. But it... Would it make you cry?
I don't know if it reduced you to tears.
Was it the fact it was the polar bear, or was it just the skill that this man had dedicated his life?
Like, do you know what I feel like? I feel like he said he was on holiday in Mallorca and he'd had a bit of a heavy night the night before, and he was just got up and had some breakfast, and he was still very much on a knife edge of emotional. And maybe he saw somebody doing a, yeah, you know, that, and went, oh my,
and she's just gone. Yeah. Claire says, an advert for holidays in Australia. I've never been, but I felt homesick.
That's weird.
Not even from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you mentioned about being manipulated.
Yeah.
And adverts are brilliant at that, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, those, like the John Lewis adverts, for example, at Christmas.
Yeah.
That first one was really good.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I don't know if they've... Yeah, because it took you by surprise. But yeah, now you can see the format. I don't think it does as much, does
no.
it?
No.
You know, become a sort of cliche.
There's one Christmas advert that got me. And this is how... It was a brilliant advert. Can't remember what it advertised.
Always the
best ones. So, yeah. Is that a good advert? Not for them, it's not.
Not for them, no.
I don't know if it's a British one, or it might be like a foreign one that just sort of did the rounds. And it's an old granddad.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just goes to the, he starts clearing out his shed, and then he starts lifting this kettlebell, this weight.
Yeah.
Sort of arms stretched, and he's sort of like lifting it up, and it's dead heavy, he can't do it. And he's doing it every day. He's in the garden doing it, he's in the kitchen doing it. Every day, just lifting this kettlebell with his hands, got his hands either side of it, and he's just lifting it up. And the neighbours are looking, and he's like, you know, and it's just weeks and weeks, the seasons change, you know, it's that. Yeah. Gets into winter, he's still doing it. Then, next thing, granddaughter comes over, she's like 4 or 5, and she's got the staff at the top of the tree in her hand, and he lifts her up to the top of the tree. And that's what it was all for, Steve. It was that weight training.
I'm glad it was that. I thought you were going to say she comes over and the kettles are just on the floor.
No.
He's died before Christmas or something.
No, it wasn't that. It was just...
The doctor said, don't strain yourself. And oh, thank God, it was what you said.
No, it was beautiful. It was just him lifting his granddaughter up so
no,
she
beautiful.
Could put the star
that
on
is,
the tree. But
that is lovely. That is beautiful.
God, gets me right there. Absolute emotional wreck every single time. Jenny's the same as me, London Marathon. Jake, the doghouse on Channel 4. As soon as the dog gets united with a new owner, I'm gone.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. I think long lost family, stuff like that, any of those.
Oh, they're good. Off. Yeah, anything that just tugs at the heartstrings. Mm. Helen says, firework displays, no idea why, but they just make me cry like a baby. Weird thing to cry about, but yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I guess sometimes they're put to music and it's maybe a big event with your children or something.
Well, at New Year's Eve, it's emotional, isn't it? Because you do go another year gone. And,
that's true.
Change this year. What's next year going to bring? And you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Lisa says, the film E.T. gets me every time. I saw it in the cinema, and even though I'm now 54, still makes me cry.
Yeah, it's wormed its way in when you're a kid, isn't it? And
then it's just in there, isn't it?
There's a certain bit will get you every time.
I'm like that with the film Hook.
Yeah.
It's just that little bit where the little kid sort of touches Robin Williams' face. There you are, Peter. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone. Elizabeth says, getting my first handwritten birthday card from a granddaughter.
Oh, that will get you. That's
lovely. That is cute, yeah. I had a moment the other day where I thought, I'm looking forward to grandchildren because my teenagers have been an absolute nightmare at the moment. Mm. And now I'm at a point where I just got to let them go now, wait for the grandkids to come along.
Yeah, and then start again.
Yeah, start again, see if I get that right. Angie says videos of flash mobs. Trish says the national anthem. I'm not even patriotic, but it just gets me emotional. Fiona says the sound of bagpipes. Not even Scottish, but something about them gets me out. They make me cry, but not...
Yeah, a bit maudlin, aren't they?
Not emotionally, just in a just in pain. Liz, musically as well, brass band. She loves a brass band.
Oh, no, I can see that. Yeah, brass bands. I mean, I'm not from Yorkshire. I'm not from any of the colliery towns, but I mean, a brass band.
They get you, don't they? They get you. Frankie says, I've been craving toast and jam all day while I was working nights. Got home, put the toast in the toaster, and the jar of jam fell out of my hands and smashed on the floor.
Oh, my
God. I sobbed and went to bed.
fair enough,
Frankie.
Awful. That is awful.
Yeah, fair enough, actually.
Because it's jam in it, so you can't even... There'll be a bit of glass in it you can't find.
No, you can't.
You can't scoop it up off the floor and just take... That's it, innit?
Oh, you've been thinking about it all
day. I bet he
just left
the jam and went to bed as well. They didn't even clean it up.
Yeah, just leave
that
for the
tomorrow.
Morning.
I can't deal with this now.
Natalie says, I remember being in floods of tears when I was about to do a class at the gym after lockdown. It was just nice being back with all the other people. Yeah, lockdown had an effect on people, didn't it? Sort of getting back together, yeah. Alan says, Tom Fletcher's wedding speech from McFly gets him every time. I don't know that.
No,
to dig that one out, won't we? Yeah. Teresa says, the photo montage that your phone automatically puts together with music. Oh, that is so true. Oh, my God.
And it's always your kids.
It's always your kids. Memories from 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it's like, oh. And then,
beach.
And no matter how old your children are, they're worse now than they were 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
So any period when they pick 5 years ago and they're sort of on your shoulders and smiling and...
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so true.
And it's the music, like, the music.
The music.
I said I might be manipulated, but that music, that manipulates me.
They're so clever. It's so clever. The closing ceremony of the 2012 Olympics from Emma. Children singing at Christmas, Catherine. And Bradley just says donkeys. Donkeys in general.
Inherently sad.
Yeah, because they're just, they're never going to, it's not even Ugly Duckling, is it? They're never going to be an horse.
No. You could say the same about a little, you know, the Shetland ponies and all the little, little horses.
I don't mind them as much. The donkey just, it doesn't matter how well kept a donkey
is.
It's got
bigger eyes, hasn't it? More expressive eyes.
Yeah, but I think no matter how well kept a donkey's been, it still looks like it's had a terrible life.
And also, because we normally see donkeys sort of on a beach or something, they're usually dressed up to look happy, and that only makes them look sadder.
Yeah, that little summer hat.
Straw hats on.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I mean... I can't believe they're still on the beach, to be honest.
They're probably not.
Maybe not. But Bradley says, we went to a donkey sanctuary in Devon last summer. My kids kept asking why I was crying. I don't know. But that's the worst place for Bradley to go, is a donkey sanctuary.
No, don't go there again.
It's not for you, mate. It's not for you. I was a bit like that. There's an ethical elephant sanctuary in Thailand. Yeah. And I got to a point where I said to Lucy, I'm going to come back and work here. Like, I was that,
really,
I was that affected by the elephants. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
Where real music matters.
Absolute Radio.
This is
Jason Manford.
Jason Manford.
We moved house this week, Steve.
Oh, exciting!
It's done. Oh, I say moved house. We've sold our house.
You haven't got a house yet.
Yeah, I don't actually have a house yet.
Right.
To live.
Sofa surfing, is that what they call it? Is that what
exactly that. So back in with the parents, that's what's happened.
Oh, how's that going? Is it still going well? Or
we're separate. So so Lucy's gone down to Kent to stay with her parents, help them out a little bit over the summer, and I'm still on tour. So I was in the north. So I'll stay at my parents, just like in a spare room, like in the in a single bed.
Yeah.
I just think your parents' house just still smells of your childhood.
Yeah. Like, you feel safer, don't you? You've got your parents there. It's cosy, isn't it?
I don't know if safety is the word I'm looking for.
Is your mum... Has she done the thing where she's sort of spat on her hanky yet and rubbed something off your face?
No, not at all.
Come in, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of watching... It's watching how people live close up. It's like... I feel like David Attenborough or something, you know, watching animals in their natural habitat.
You know, as an adult, you and Lucy have got your own style of living there. You know how adults live.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And then you're watching, you know, other adults related to you.
Yeah.
Seeing what they do, get up to in the evening.
Do their
how does
thing,
it compare?
Yeah. Well,
they do.
Everything's a lot more laid back, because obviously most of the mornings for us are school runs, getting ready, kids, you know what I mean? Whereas this is just like, get up when you want. You know, my dad's already up, to be fair. My dad's up and out and already been on a walk and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's like the two worlds colliding again. So, you know, like for example, I told you recently I've got into like supplements. You know what I mean? I'm taking about 25 a day. Like, it's mad.
Yeah, really, really good.
Rattle every morning.
Yeah,
which is fine. And even I'm telling you a little bit, I'm not going too much into it.
Yeah.
But obviously my dad is just sat there like with a bacon butty.
Watching you eat out of your supplements.
Watching me with my supplements going, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm just longevity. You know what I mean? Just trying to live longer. He's like, well, I'm still here. You know what I mean? I'm in my 70s. I've never taken a supplement in my life. But he's one of them freaks.
Yeah.
He's one of them who will live till 100. Like, I only had cigarettes and Haribo.
Yeah, they're the ones that
those
come
ones.
Up, aren't they? When you think, oh, what do I do? And then there's always somebody going, this woman smoked 40 fags a day, yeah. 220, only ate beef dripping sandwiches.
Yeah. Secret to life is staying away from other people. You know what I mean? It's like... It's always something.
I'm up for that. That's
yeah,
no,
I'm
great.
Into that. To be fair, I'm into that. So yeah, there's a bit of judgment in like how I live a little bit.
Yeah,
I feel a little bit like a sitcom where this slightly, I don't like to use the word middle class because I'm not, but compared to them, I am.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like the sitcom, you know, that you can't really say on the radio, you know, Blank Creek.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the family in that, I feel like I'm maybe them a little bit. To them, that's how they see me, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see them as the mayor, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
Who's... so I feel like we are very different in our lives now. But it's still a lot of love, and we have had a lot of laughs.
Is there anything else you're doing, above than the supplements, that you think is upsetting? You know, not upsetting them, but making them think, oh.
I guess, I mean,
are
I'm
you
up
right at, with a paddle?
Yeah, they're fine with the paddle because my mum's obsessed with paddle as well.
Oh, got her in good.
Yeah, mum's, I mean, to a point where she is boring people a lot with the paddle. I mean, I feel like I've gone past. Shut up. I feel like I've gone past that stage. Like, I don't feel like, you know,
sure you've gone right past it. Yeah.
Not right past it, but I'm not.
It's
I mean,
roundabout, you've gone round and come back again.
No. You brought it up. And also, I'm talking like my mum will go through the game. Yeah, and then anyway, at 30-40, she hits the ball down the side and I'm scrambling to get, like, she's that at that. I've never done that, Steve.
No, you don't want action replays.
No, nobody needs that. So, yeah, there's a little bit of that going on. And also, I feel a little bit like they think I'm, that I've changed. Like, I'm some sort of, like, posh bloke who's, you know what I mean, who lives in, but I'm not, I'm just me, but. Like, for example, my dad, when he tidied this room, it's still a single bed in a room with a bunk bed and that. But he cleaned the room before I got there, which was lovely, and lit a candle, which is not in his remit.
No,
and
he's
also
done that for you.
Yeah, but he's done that for me. But I'm not a candle guy.
Yeah, but he just thought, you know, you probably appreciate posh scents now.
So that's what he's done. He's obviously got
a reed diffuser out for you.
Yeah, he's posh now, RJ. So we bet get that candle, get that that Yankee candle. Get it lit.
Bubblegum flavour. You'll love that.
But I'm sure there'll be more stories over the next few weeks. It's time for this.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
Lovely stuff from Steve there.
I think you're on it as well.
Yeah, but you're the main voice on it.
Front and centre, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You're the lead singer. I'm the Andrew Ridgely of that jingle.
Yeah.
But it sounds fantastic. It gets me every time. Makes me cry a little bit, actually.
Cry a little bit.
We're playing Hit With Your Best Facts, where we're looking for your best facts. What's the criteria, Steve?
We just want, I mean, we like a local fact. We like a current fact, sorry. So, you know, what's on tennis, Wimbledon, summer, something to do with cocktails, drinks, hot tubs, any of that.
Yeah.
But just tease us. You know, sometimes we don't want the entire fact, but then sometimes that works as well. There's no right and wrong to winning a terrible mug.
No, but if you win it, you properly win it, don't you?
Yeah,
and you win a cheeky mug. I saw one the other day which I really liked. Pop up. Maybe I could win it this week, Steve.
Oh, go on.
There's only 25 blimps in the world.
Is that?
Yeah.
Well, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm mad.
It's only 25.
It's only 25.
I've seen one.
Well, yeah, you have one of 25.
Where's the one in Wolverhampton?
Well, they're all mostly used for advertising, of course.
Well, it was Goodyear used to be in Wolverhampton. Goodyear, that's probably why I saw it.
Good diet.
Mm-hmm.
Thought you quite like that.
Good fact.
As soon as I saw it, I thought, that's one for Steve. I'm going to throw that at him. But I can't win it. It's not fair. It's not fair that I win it.
You don't want the mug.
I don't want the mug either, to be honest.
Legally, you can win it, but you just don't want the mug.
No.
So I don't want to win it.
No, thank you. I wouldn't put my family in that sort of jeopardy.
No, not worth
by
it.
Having that mug in the house. But you can have it. So, we start with Andrea, who's emailed us at jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Have we had this one before? I know this one, so we'll see. Yeah, David Attenborough is the reason tennis balls are yellow and not white.
Oh, I think we have had this before, but I can't remember what it was.
I remember this one, and it was because at the time, David Attenborough was controller of BBC Two.
Yeah.
It was late 1960s and the tennis balls were white, but because the television was black and white. Attenborough and his team, and when it sort of first turned to colour, it wasn't great. So they noticed that the white balls were hard to see against the grass courts.
And against the white lines, especially. Yeah,
on the brand new, you know, colour televisions. Yeah. So to improve visibility for viewers, they worked with the LTA, I guess it would have been, or the International Tennis Federation, to test the alternative colours. And yellow was found to be the easiest one to see.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So there you go. Pretty good, that one.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that is a good one. I like that one.
Case solved.
The case solved. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Bring that back.
We need to bring that back, don't we? Debbie says, without sloths...
Oh, here we go.
We love a sloth fact. Without sloths, there would be no avocados.
Oh, what? Why? I mean, what? Why?
Why?
Why? What are they doing? Are they taking out something that would eat the avocado?
Well, yeah, the sloth is amongst the only animals large enough to eat whole avocados, right, including their huge seeds, and disperse them effectively. So,
So they plant more.
Yeah,
avocado.
So they're the ones that sort of So without heart. Without the yes, exactly. Yeah, bonking people's heads. Without giant ground sloths and other megafauna, avocados would never have naturally spread.
Oh, well, there you go. A lot to thank the sloth for.
Yeah, there you go. You see, the sloth. The more I hear about the sloth, the more I like him.
Underrated.
What about this one? Danny has come right in with this.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly how to play the game. I respect this.
Oh, I like this. Good. I'm not saying this already.
The first electric car was tested in Wolverhampton.
Oh, I know. Oh. That's what he's doing there.
He knows. He knows there that he knows.
I think I sort of knew this a bit.
Mm.
I can't remember his name. Parker called, or something.
That's right, Thomas Parker.
Yes.
Yeah. 1882.
What was it? It's something to do. Yeah, electric and dynamos. He invented he was battery man, wasn't he? Cells. Yeah,
that's
and,
right. High capacity lead acid.
So they had
batteries
them,
and dynamos.
They had electric cars all the way back then.
All that time, yeah. And they went, let's do this one that destroys the world.
This is the one that destroys the planet. Good, that's a good... Because, I mean, electric cars are big, aren't they, now? They're everywhere. So you could say, do you know where the first electric car was?
Yeah,
Wolverhampton.
Who knew that Wolverhampton was... Well, maybe you did, the sort of a hub of
the tires,
industrial
the
innovation.
The tyres, if they were still going then. I mean, it was ideal.
Yeah. Wolverhampton's famous for a lot of things, Steve. Oh, early steam locomotive and rail components were there. First automated traffic light. Mm.
Chubb locks, I think they were.
Chubb locks, that's right, yeah. The Star car, the Star motor cars, the lots of things going on down there. Who knew? Who knew? Mark, who says, the internet is protected by 14 people with 7 keys.
14 people? You need 2 of them to use the key.
Yeah, is it like the... You know, like the nuclear weapons.
It's weird. You think there'd be more keys, so you both have to turn the 2 keys at the same time, but do they both have to put their hand on each other's hand and turn the key?
Well, I think... So the Internet Domain Name System, the DNS, like the address book of the internet, is protected by a security system involving 14 people who each hold 7 physical keys.
Right.
So they're chosen as key holders. They each hold a physical smart card key, and there's 7 backup key holders as well.
Yeah, they'll have lost them once.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in the car, the spare key. There's a bit inside of them. You lose that bit.
I wonder who they are.
I don't know. I'd like to meet them at a dinner party, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd like to know that as well.
I'm one of the 7 key holders.
For the internet. I'm an internet key holder.
And how about you? What do you do? I'm an Asda sniper. Oh, right, tell me about your job.
These keys are used in ceremonies held 4 times per year in 2 secure facilities, one on the east and one on the west coast of the USA.
Wow. Interesting.
Interesting, isn't it? Can't find... Well, it actually does say who they are. Do you want to know who they are?
Yeah, go on.
And they are from all over the place. We've got Olaf Kaufman from the Netherlands, Dan Kaminski, the USA, Anne-Marie Eklund Lauwinder from Sweden. Bevel Wooding from Trinidad and Tobago. Mohamed Diop from Senegal. And Jiankang Yao from China.
Oh, I thought I was expecting. And Dave Jevons.
Yeah, from Wolverhampton. That's good though, isn't it? There you go. Who knew that? Good fact that, Mark. I like that. What about this? This says Roman, age 9. Well, Steve.
Okay, well, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't sway us.
Does not sway us.
But we'll have a listen.
We'll have a listen, absolutely. And it is a good one, to be fair.
Okay.
Roman says giraffes are 30 times more likely to be struck by lightning than humans or other animals.
Oh, well, it's just because their head's higher, closer to the
yeah, I feel like
sticking out, aren't they?
It's a good fact, but even as a 9-year-old, come on.
Yeah.
We know why yeah. that is.
Well, trees get struck by lightning, and they're in the top of those trees eating the branches.
Yeah, you're 6 metres high, you're going to get struck by lightning. Yeah, it's your own fault. It's a good one. I do like...
It's not their own fault. They can't bend down. They can't do anything.
Is that? Is it the giraffe with the same amount of bones in its neck?
In neck than
a human?
Us, yeah.
Like that.
Whatever it is, 9.
Quite like that. I love a giraffe fact. Thanks, Roman. Michelle. It's quite a good one. The Heinz ketchup label protects the contents against ketchup fraud.
What? Protects the... The content? What, of the can?
Yeah. Well, or the bottle,
ketchup,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the ketchup fraud was a genuine problem in the 19th and early 20th century. And scrupulous manufacturers would dilute tomato products with pumpkin pulp or apple scraps, add harmful chemicals like coal tar.
Oh.
Horrible. A mislabel poor quality or dangerous products as tomato ketchup. So Heinz, when Heinz introduced the ketchup in 1876, he focused on the glass bottles with clear labelling.
So
unlike others, others used opaque bottles to hide poor quality. Heinz used clear glass so you could see the purity, the freshness, earning that consumer trust. Consistent branding and labels that guarantee the authenticity and safety.
So you recognise it, yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't itself like chemically protect the contents, but it prevents fraud by acting as like a mark of authenticity. I like that. That's nice. Nice. I love a little historical fact, don't you?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Love that one. Scott has messaged and has thrown a fact at us. If you put every animal on Earth into a bag and picked one out randomly, you'd have a 1 in 5 chance of picking out a what?
Oh, like a cockroach or a beetle or something.
Whoa, it's a beetle.
Oh, is it?
Good. That is a good... I've got respect there, Steve. That's
I thought it was cockroach because they always say they were the ones...
That'll
know, there's
survive.
Loads of them, isn't there? There's
loads of them.
So there's that many more beetles. There's
400,000 described species of beetles.
And that's not even including the John, Paul, George and Ringo.
That's not even including the main four, Or the fifth even, That's more than any other group of animal on Earth. Estimated suggest there might be even up to 1 million beetled species.
It's a good fact.
They make up 20 to 25% of all known animals species. That's nuts, isn't it?
That is mad.
Wowza. I like it. I like that one. What about this? Marcus says, this is good.
Okay.
This is a thing that I didn't even know was possible.
Right.
Rock star Alice Cooper owns the O in the Hollywood sign.
Oh.
He owns the O's. Yeah,
which
the three
one?
O's. All three of them.
Does he?
Yeah.
Why? How?
I don't know. Well, let me have a little look for you.
I've heard something about this. Something to do with...
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's Groucho Marx was his mate. I think it's something to do with Groucho Marx. I think I've heard this.
You're right.
Go on.
Yeah, 1978, the original... Go on, what do you think happened?
No, I think it's something to do with Groucho Marx. I remember it's like a weird Groucho Marx thing, isn't it? It's the sort of thing they were going to knock him down or something. And he said
they were badly damaged and a risk of collapse. There was a fundraiser led by Hugh Hefner. Now cancelled.
So didn't mention him, did you?
Didn't mention him, yep.
So he's got the two on the wood, hasn't he? You know,
he was going to own the two O's and he was going to put little O's in the middle of them.
Yeah, areolas.
We thought that's not the right thing to do. So look, Alice Cooper came in, donated to restore one of the O's in honour of Groucho Marx, his friend and mentor.
One of the O's.
I didn't know they were pals.
Yeah, no, he used to go around his house and talk to him at night when he was going to sleep or something. I remember reading a big story about them. I don't know how they were mates, but they were mates.
There you go. Cooper said Groucho helped him during his early career, inviting him to Hollywood circles and teaching him comedic timing, so he felt it fitted to save a landmark in Groucho's memory.
I mean, that must be worth a bit now, mustn't it?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
One of the O's.
Do you want to know who owns the other letters?
Go on. Well, Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner owns the Y.
Oh, he owns the Y, okay.
Yeah, Yeah. We've got Terence Donnelly, who's a publisher at Toronto Sun, sponsored the H. Yeah. Alice Cooper's got the O, the first O. Kelly from Kelly Blue Book sponsors the L. Gene Autry, the famous singing cowboy.
Yeah.
Sponsors the second L. Hugh Hefner's got the Y. Andy Williams, Moon River.
Oh, really? He's got one.
He's got the W.
Oh, good.
That's good, isn't it? Dennis Litka has got the last D. And Warner Brothers own the first of the second O's. And Gianni Versace owns the second O. Ooh, second. So there you go. That's quite, I like that. Good fact.
And luckily,
that
no
Marcus.
One that's been cancelled owns any of them, because that could have been. When you were reading them out there, that could have been.
I would say have a quick Google of Hugh Hefner, Steve Edge.
Oh, I'm sure he's not, you know. But I mean, there's nobody, you know.
I think he's problematic.
He didn't mention the D, so I'm worried.
Oh, I see. No, the D's fine. Dennis Litka, a businessman, has got the D.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, you know, the D's fine. But yeah, the Y of Hugh Hefner is dubious, I would
debatable.
Say. Yes. Steve, what's the capital city of Switzerland?
Is it, it's not Luxembourg, is it?
Luxembourg's another country, yeah.
No, sorry, what am I saying? What was the question?
Did you nod off there? What were you actually doing then when I asked you that?
Did I tell you what I was doing?
Yeah, what were you doing? You were doing something else.
No, I've got me... you know the water thing that we talk about every year? The sort of... the 2 litre water thing.
The big bottle.
Yourself. I've got that out.
Right.
And I was just reaching over to grab that, and I wasn't really listening to
it. And you did that thing where you heard a question get asked, and you just thought, you know what, I'm going to blag this and say Luxembourg.
Because I thought you said something about skiing or clocks. And I went, what? It's up there,
isn't
it?
I'm going to blag this. We've all done it. We've all done it. So, not on national radio.
What was the question?
I asked you what was the capital city of Switzerland. I don't know where you got that from. Skiing and clocks I can see, but I never said them.
Is it skiing? I don't know. What is the capital of Switzerland?
Well,
it's not
Tony
Zurich, is it?
Tony has thrown a fact at us to say Switzerland does not have a capital city.
It doesn't have a capital city.
No, technically no official capital city. It's not it's never designated. Bern is function as the de facto capital, as it were.
Oh, okay.
But obviously you've got Zurich, the sort of financial capital, and Geneva, international diplomacy, and so lots going on. But doesn't officially have a capital city.
Well,
like that one.
Australia have done that thing with Canberra, haven't they? Rather than give it Sydney or Melbourne, they've gone, it's this one in the middle. You know that one.
Yeah, but
rather
I guess
than give it, the two famous ones are not the capital.
Yeah, but I guess maybe when you're coming up with the capital city, you know, 200 years ago, you're not sure which one's going to be.
Which one's going to make it?
Make it, you know what I mean? So maybe, I don't know. What we got next? We've got Andy, who says there have only ever been 11 people born in Antarctica.
There have only been 11 people born in Antarctica?
Yeah. I mean, who was going to Antarctica pregnant?
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
Yeah. No. Where's the nearest hospital?
Yeah, exactly. Since 1978, when the first human was born in Antarctica, Emilio Marcos das Palma Vida.
Was it 1978?
1978, yeah. Quite late on, isn't it?
Yeah.
There have been around 11 births.
He was the first person born ever.
In Antarctica, yeah.
Yeah, that's a better fact. Just the fact that, you know, that the first person born in ever, it was 1978.
1978, yeah, it's quite late, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's a good one. And what about the smallest public park is 2.67 square feet. That's Darren.
The park's called Darren?
No. The fact
where is the park?
The fact was from Darren. Millens Park in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
0.2 square metres, 24 inches in diameter.
It's not a park, is it?
I wouldn't say. Is there a swing
local,
on it?
The local council have gone, we're opening a new park. We know, you know, sometimes people in Portland, Oregon, they get a bit... So we're going to open a park for you, all right? We've done it. We're going to open you a park.
Yeah, it's over
2 foot.
It's the story behind it. In 1948, journalist Dick Fagan noticed an empty hole.
Don't trust him already.
Already. I mean, two names that don't
elicit
trust. Yeah.
Literally made up the most dastardly name that you can.
He noticed an empty hole meant for a light pole outside his office. He planted flowers in it and wrote whimsical columns about the park, claiming it was home to a colony of leprechauns led by a leprechaun named Patrick O'Toole. He was bored at work, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
In 1976, it was officially designated as a city park. I'm going to rattle through the ones we've had so far. Steve's okay. going to pick us a winner. So we had Andrea, who said, Attenborough is the reason tennis balls are yellow and not white. Debbie told us without sloths, there'd be no avocados. Electric car was first tested in Wolverhampton. The internet is protected by 14 people with 7 keys. Giraffes are 30 times more likely to be struck by lightning than humans. The Heinz ketchup label protects the contents against ketchup fraud. If you put every animal in a bag, pick them out at random, you have a 1 in 5 chance of picking out a beetle. Rockstar Alice Cooper owns one of the O's of the Hollywood sign. Switzerland doesn't have a capital city. There's only 11 people ever born in Antarctica. The smallest public park is 2.67 square feet. Steve, which one has tickled your fancy?
Well, I tell you, the one, because it's aimed at me, the Wolverhampton one has made me, I think they played the game very well there by aiming that at me.
Yes.
But I'm just going to remember that. I think the one that stands out here is Alice Cooper owns one of the O's on Hollywood. We're always going to remember that now.
I think that's a good one, that. Because
The first O, was it?
And also, I don't think, the first O. I think because none of us knew.
No.
That any of the letters
I didn't know
were
they weren't for sale. Yeah, it's like the Hollywood Land thing it used to be said, didn't it? And then it blew down in the 30s or whatever. It's like Hollywood Land, didn't it? So
yeah, there you go. All right, fair enough. So Marcus pipped old Danny at the post there.
Yeah.
Thought when that, when I saw Wolverhampton, I thought...
Anytime somebody mentions electric car again, just think...
I always remember Wolverhampton. Yeah. But Rockstar Alice Cooper owns one of the O's in the Hollywood sign. That's a cracking fact from Marcus. If you've got a fact, you want to win yourself an Absolute Radio mug, all you got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for listening this morning here on Absolute Radio. We'll be back same time next week, of course. What have you got on this week, Steve?
I'm going my first camping trip in the camper van this weekend. When this show's on, I'll be sat in a field somewhere drinking a coffee.
Ah, lovely. Are you back in Blighty then?
I am back in Blighty now, but I'll be leaving again in a couple of weeks.
Ah, lovely stuff.
But obviously the summer holidays are racing towards us and we've got to try and...
Of course.
...get what we're doing with our children.
I don't know, the panic is setting in, of course.
My wife downloaded a calendar, like, and printed it out and just writing stuff in.
I think that's actually the best thing to do. I do that with mine now because my girls will sleep till 1:30 in the afternoon if you let them. So this week I'm in the showbiz capital, Steve. Yeovil on Wednesday.
Yeovil.
Oh, aye. Poole on Thursday and then Isle of Wight Friday, Saturday. Then we head over to, then we've got St. Helens Tuesday and then off to Ireland from the 23rd to the 27th, going Wexford, Limerick, Cork, Castlebar and whatnot. So if you fancy coming along to see any of my shows, jasonmanford.com. Have a wicked day. Enjoy the sunshine. Stay safe, guys. We'll see you next week here on Absolute Radio.